Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
We're going to look at response to this weekend's unprecedented Iranian attack on Israel, a war that's usually fought only through proxies. A headline from the Jerusalem Post reads, "Attacks bring four-decade shadow war into the open. Iran and its proxy militias launched 300 missiles and drones into Israel. The U.S. had alerted Israel they were coming. Hours later, sirens blared, and they did. Almost all were intercepted by the U.S., Jordan, and Israeli air defenses. Iran says the attack was in response to what the Pentagon agrees was an Israeli attack on the Iranian embassy compound in Syria earlier this month." Let's start in the region with Borzu Dargahi, a journalist based in the Middle East and senior fellow with the Atlantic Council. He's in Istanbul today. Borzu, what are people saying?
I mean, everyone, there's opinions everywhere. But I think that it was a very scary day yesterday for everyone. And everyone was talking about this. Ordinary people, it was on TVs everywhere. People in Israel were terrified on Sunday, as they were told to, you know, go and shelter into their houses and so on. So, you know, there was a sense of fear. What are analysts saying? This is unprecedented. It was yet measured. You know, I think that you mentioned that the Americans alerted Israel well ahead. How do they do that? Most likely through Iraqi intermediaries. Iran told Iraq with the understanding that Iraq would tell the U.S. and the U.S. would tell Israel. This was meant as a, you know, kind of an air and water show to show Israel that it no longer dominates the skies, that Iran, despite basically lacking an air force, in conventional air force, and not having any fighter jets built after the Cold War, has kind of managed to assemble an air strategy that denies Israel domination of the air, maybe for the first time in decades.
Well, and you say everybody was petrified. You could watch the entire thing unfold here on CNN, and you could see the drones coming in like twinkling stars, and then you could see when they were hit. It did seem like a show, but a terrifying one. But we know that not all, even Arab countries in the region, have the same feelings about Iran. We remember the Iran Revolution was to topple a monarchy, and the hope at the time was to topple other monarchies in other Arab countries. But are all the countries in the region feeling they have to pull together to support Iran?
No. Oh. No country is feeling that. But no country is also happy with Israel in the region because of what's unfolding in Gaza. There's Israel is not winning any popularity contests these days. Mm-hmm. And in the case of the kind of regional powers that could threaten and pose a challenge to Iran, Saudi Arabia, and the United Emirates, as well as Turkey, all of them are trying to accommodate Iran. They don't want the trouble of having Iran as their enemy. They're all very measured. They're very cautious. You know, we urge de-escalation on both sides, no provocations, and so on. And that is the mood in the area. They want this to go. And I was surprised at how responsible and calm the media response was in the area, the official and semi-official media. Everyone's just spooked.
Yeah. Well, and how do they view this? I mean, you point out that this was Iran demonstrating that they have air power. That doesn't singularly belong to Israel. But some are seeing this as a complete demonstration of failure by Iran. Some of the missiles didn't work. Every single one was taken down.
From Iran's point of view, like, this was a total success. They scared the hell out of Israel. They, you know, had Israeli civilians running for cover and so on. They had the Israeli government panicked. They had Bitcoin collapse, you know. So this was like a demonstration of what Iran could do to create a lot of havoc if you violate its rules. The Supreme Leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, said that an attack on our embassy is an attack on Iranian soil. I went and read the Vienna Convention. He's got that wrong. That's not accurate. But he, you know, treated it that way. And so, you know, he's saying this is a pre-warning to what will happen if there's an attack on Iranian soil. It's like a message in a kind of neatly shaped, as you mentioned, CNN live cam, live view kind of presentation.
Yeah. Well, we should point out that there was a 7-year-old girl who was hit by one of the missiles. And so we're keeping an eye on that story. But the U.S. is now telling Israel that while it will help Israel defend itself, it will not participate in any counteroffensive against Iran. But we know that Netanyahu is getting pressure from members of his right-wing cabinet to respond. We know that Iran has proxy militias who are presumably cheering them on, cheering Iran on. What's the sense of what happens next?
Oh, Israel will almost, I mean, as like a, the intelligence analyst says, highly unlikely that Israel will not respond in some way. The question is, will Netanyahu respond in a measured and non-escalatory way? Or will it, you know, respond to Iran's unprecedented action by launching its own unprecedented action? Mm.
Borzu Dargahi, journalist based in the Middle East, senior fellow with the Atlantic Council, who always helps us look at things through the eyes of the region in the Middle East. Borzu, thank you.
It's a pleasure.